make sure that they are loving one another in their relationships, loving one another in their relationships together as believers. And he encourages them to view what Christ has done for us through the cross, how he has reconciled us to God. Reconciliation is where you have two opposing parties and you have someone who brings them together. They're reconciled. There's a mediator, and Christ Jesus is the mediator who reconciled God and us who were enemies of God. And through his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, we have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to start reading in verse 14. We'll read down through the end of the chapter. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What a beautiful passage. In a couple moments we have, we'll just walk through this together as we prepare to worship the Lord's table. But let's pray. As we come to God's word, let's pray that God will give us understanding and give us obedience in our hearts to obey his word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your kindness to us. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ and his willingness to go to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Thank you that he triumphed over sin and death. He was victorious over the grave as he rose from the dead. Thank you that we have the hope, the truth, the promise of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that we as your church this morning, I pray that Christians who are here this morning, that our hearts would just be thankful and overwhelmed with your mercy, with your grace, with your kindness to us through Jesus. And I pray that as we prepare our hearts to worship at your table, we would remember well the death of Christ on our behalf, for our sake, as your word says. Thank you, Lord, that he who knew no sin took our sin upon him, so that through his death and through his resurrection, we could be made righteous with God. We pray that everything we do this morning would give you praise as we come to your word. I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts this morning would be pleasing and praiseworthy to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, 2022 has indeed arrived. And 2022, believe it or not, is right on schedule. It is right on schedule in accordance with God's perfect plan, with his sovereign, eternal, glorious plan for his creation. Both the formerly created creation, which he created, and the new creation that he is and is continuing to create in his church. This new creation that we enjoy as Christians comes through the new birth that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. As we come to God's word this morning, I'm going to kind of repeat this phrase, and it's right there from the text, but the big idea this morning that I would encourage us to consider as we come to God's word is that every Christian is a new creation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every Christian, whether you are young or you are older, whether you are a new Christian, you've been saved for many years, you are a new creation through the grace of God. Through Christ's death, we have forgiveness from our sins. Through Christ's resurrection, we have eternal life through faith in him. Through obedience to God's word, we have fullness of joy and confidence as we endure and persevere in the faith. Why? Because we have been reconciled to God. we have peace with Him. This morning, I'd like to briefly examine three aspects of the Christian's new creation status or identity in Christ. I believe there are three clear but fundamentally important, vitally important gifts and truths that are ours as Christians because we are a new creation in Christ. First of all, this morning, we can see from God's Word that in Christ, we have a divine love that controls us. If you look in verse 14, as we began, Paul says, "For the love of Christ controls us." This phrase, "the love of Christ," comes up often in Paul's writings and other writings of the New Testament. In Romans chapter 8, he reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, Paul prayed a prayer for the Ephesian believers. And he said he prayed that they would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Jude, in his epistle, writes, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." It doesn't mean that we could ever be outside the love of God as Christians, but we want to be focusing on that, reminding ourselves of the love of God and letting that control us, letting that guide us. His love for us guide our actions and our motives. As we come to this passage of Scripture in verse 14, Paul says, "The love of Christ controls us." This used to be, I remember reading this growing up and wondering, well, is it my love for Christ, the love that I have for Jesus, that's what guides me? Or is it His love for me? And it is definitely His love for me. Because my love for Christ, sadly, at times can wane. My love for Christ sometimes can be distorted if I get my eyes off of His Word or on other things. But God's love for me never changes. His love for His church, for Christians, never changes. And Paul's saying God's love, because He loves us, His love is controlling our actions. Earlier, for sake of time, I won't go there, but in an earlier part of chapter 5, Paul talks about how his exhortations to these Corinthians, he had been showing them and admonishing them, even rebuking them at times, out of love for them. And he said, "It may even seem that we're outside of our minds in telling you these things, but it's because we love you. We are warning you." And Paul says, "I want you to know, Corinthian church, that the love of Christ is controlling us, is guiding us." This word control many times is used in a negative way. It's used many times of a guard guarding a prisoner, to hold fast in a very firm way, or to surround or encircle you, to rule over you, or to hold you guard. But Paul would have it no other way. Oh, I want the love of Christ to protect me. I want the love of Christ to surround me, to encircle me. And Paul is saying here, I want you to know that the love of Christ controls us. When we come to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we know a love from God that we never knew before. He loved us far before we loved Him. But now that we have accepted His gift of salvation, we are made alive in Him. We have a love that controls us and guides us through His Word. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us all these wonderful gifts. He's given us His love. But secondly, not only in Christ do we have a divine love that controls us, but secondly, we see that we have in Christ a new life to live. We have a new life to live. If you look in verse 15, he says, "And He, Christ, died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised." Now, we were living and breathing physically. But before we came to Christ, we were dead spiritually. Ephesians chapter 2 and many other passages remind us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, spiritually dead, spiritually far off from God. But through Christ, we're made alive spiritually. He awakens us through His Spirit. We are made alive in Jesus Christ. Now we no longer fear death. We have eternal life awaiting us in heaven. We are in eternal life right now as we are living now in Christ forever. And in Christ, we have a new life to live. Notice he says in verse 15 that those who are living, here he's talking about living spiritually, might no longer live for themselves on earth, but we live for the glory of God, for Jesus, who for our sake died and was raised. Perhaps you've heard someone say after a difficult circumstance and they were brought through it, they feel like, "Man, I feel like I have a second chance to live." Have you heard that before? I feel like I've had a second chance to live. I was talking with Mom and Dad and Sarah last night, trying to think of some examples, and perhaps, you know, think of someone who has been had a huge debilitating debt to pay. And they've been paying it off for years, or maybe someone pays it off for them, and now they no longer have this burden of debt on them, and they say, "Oh, I feel like I have a second chance at life now." Maybe you know someone or you've heard of people who have been released from prison after serving time, and now they're released, and though there's still many challenges ahead, they say, "Oh, I feel like I got a second chance at life. I have freedom." Perhaps someone being cured from a very terrible disease. Someone who's been on death's door, but they've been cured. They feel, "Oh, I feel like I got a second chance at life." Maybe you've known someone who's been in a very bad car accident or a wreck, and they should have died, but God allows them to walk away or recover from that, and they say, "I feel like I got a second chance at life." You know, the amazing thing as Christians is that after we are saved, we don't just get a second chance at life. We have a new life, a totally new reality, a totally new identity in Christ. We were lost, and now we're found. We were an enemy of God. Now we're a child of God in His family. We were condemned, justly condemned, and we've been declared righteous. We're justified. We were without hope. Now we have a living hope that abides within us. We were without God, and yet now we have God's indwelling Spirit indwelling us as Christians. We were perishing, and now we have eternal life. We were fallen creation, fallen in our depravity, and through Christ we've been raised to new creation status. We were children of darkness. Now we are children of light. We were slaves of Satan. And now we are soldiers of Christ. Every Christian is a new creation through faith in Jesus Christ. There was a time, maybe you felt fear, afraid of God, and you were rejecting His authority. We all, in our own sinfulness, before we came to Christ, even if we were little children, in God's eyes, we were still rejecting His authority. And yet now, Paul says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. We as Christians no longer are rejecting His authority or afraid of Him, but we are His ambassadors, and we are sharing His message, a message of reconciliation. We don't live for ourselves. We live for Him, as Paul said in verse 15, who for our sake died and was raised. And this leads us to our last observation this morning. Thirdly, in Christ, we have a reconciling message to share. A message of reconciliation. For a couple moments, I want to look at verses 16 down through verse 21. In verse 16, he says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. We do not live," Paul is saying, "to see people just as earthly people." We want to see the souls of people. And also, I think he's saying here, is we don't live to please man above God. We don't live for the pleasure of man. We live for the pleasure of God. We do not regard people just as fleshly beings. We see them as people who Christ has died for. And he also, in verse 17, he says, we used to even see Jesus as just another person, but now he's opened our eyes to see him. No, he's the Son of God. He is our King. And we follow him. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Earlier in chapter 6, verse 16, he says, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Verse 17 tells us that we live out the truth of our reconciliation with God by not living the old way, but living the new way in Christ. Verse 18 tells us that we have nothing to boast in other than God's work and reconciling us to himself. All this, verse 18, all this good news, all this new creation, all this life and love that God has for us is from him. We did nothing to save ourselves. It's all of God's grace. This is all from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us a ministry. We have a ministry. Remember, Paul would say often, I didn't create this ministry. It was given to me by God to go and tell people about Jesus. The same thing is true for us. As we go through this year into 2022, if you're a Christian, God has given you a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry to tell people how they can be reconciled to God, how they can be made right with God, and it's all through Jesus Christ. As we come to the table this morning, this reminds us of what's most important. Remember what Christ did for us. Remember why we're still here. To go and tell people that his body was torn and killed for them. And his blood was shed to pay the penalty for their sins if they would believe in him. Very quickly, in verse 19, we see that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. This doesn't mean that the whole world's going to be saved, but he was coming into this sinful world, and he was offering reconciliation to the world through faith in Christ. He was willing to not count, verse 19, their trespasses against them. Have any of you ever trespassed onto someone else's property, and they caught you doing it? Now, it's one thing if you didn't mean to. There's times when I'd go out hunting. I remember one time, my dad, grandpa, and I were going out hunting, and we were up in Wisconsin, and we were walking somewhere, and we didn't see the signs. You know, sometimes the grass or the trees can cover up a sign, or it fades. And we were just walking, and a gentleman just kind of happened to be out there, and he had on his hunting gear, and he came talking to us, and he said, you know, hi, how are you guys doing? Oh, we're doing fine, you know, whatever, we're doing great. And he said, okay. Well, he said, and he was very kind. He could have been rude. But he said, I just want you to know that this land you're on is actually my land. There's a sign back there, and actually, and he pointed it out to us, we didn't see it. And we're like, oh, okay, we're sorry. And we went back. Now, that was ignorant trespassing, but did it change the fact that we trespassed? No, we still broke what the sign said we should do. And then there's willful trespassing, when you know you shouldn't be there, but you go there anyway. They're both wrong, right? Now, one, we could say, well, he should show them kindness and mercy, but he technically didn't have to because we were on his property. He could have been very angry, but he showed us mercy. He showed us kindness. What this pastor is saying is, it doesn't matter whether it was a willful sin or an unwillful sin, we're all sinners. And God, through Christ, is willing to forgive all those trespasses through faith in him. And that's the beautiful message we have to share. This is the message we have to share, because that's what Christ did in us. And one of the best ways to share the gospel is to tell people what God did in your life. This is what Jesus did for me. May we do that this year. And notice a very powerful statement in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through who? Us. Now, that might feel overwhelming. God is going to lead people to salvation through us. Yes, that's his plan. So it behooves us to know his gospel well, to know his word well, so that we can share it well with others. Because that is how God is operating. Now, God still gets the glory. We don't save anybody by sharing it, but we share the word, and God uses his word to work in their lives. So as we think of verse 21, as we prepare to close, and we're going to gather at the table in a moment, for our sake. If you look back in verse 15, he says, for him who for their sake died and was raised. Verse 21, for our sake, he made him, his son, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If you ever think for a moment, and this world's going to tempt you this year to think it, whether it be through illness, whether it be through financial challenges, whether it be through relational challenges, whatever it may be, this world is going to tempt you this year to make you think that God doesn't love you. The minute you may be tempted with that, the minute that you in your heart or I in my heart may start to wonder, does God really care? Look to the cross. The cross. Communion reminds us that God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but can have everlasting life. When you are struggling, when you are worn down, go to God's word and run to the cross, because God's word will lead you to find your hope in Jesus. Even as Christians, we need to keep running to the cross. So as we close this morning, as we prepare to celebrate the table, I would just say two things. One, we need to ask God. I need to ask God an application. Ask God to help his love for you control your motives, control your thoughts, control your actions, control your affections. This requires humility on our part. This requires us worshiping before God, humbling ourselves and submitting ourselves to God, our life to Christ's lordship, and saying, Lord Jesus, you are the master. You're the potter. I am the clay. Would you mold me and make me according to your will? Would you help your love control my thoughts, so that I will love you and love others as you've called me to. And then secondly, let's go. Go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. This year, may God use us to be light bearers in a way that greater than we've ever been before as a church family. May we go and tell people the good news of Jesus Christ and the way that we respond to trials and the way that we go through our day-to-day lives and the words that we say and just sharing the plain gospel message. May we go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ's message of reconciliation with joyful confidence. Joyful confidence. And this is going to require a heart that is both content to rest in God's plan and will, and a heart that's ready to love others biblically. It's hard to love other people, isn't it? The way God wants us to. It is very hard. And yet, when we look to the cross and remember how God has loved us, it reminds us, hey, I can love others because God has loved me. And I can forgive others because God has forgiven all my trespasses. And it doesn't mean it's easy, but He will give me the strength through His Word, through His Spirit, to obey and to tell people about Jesus and to forgive. Every Christian is a new creation in Jesus Christ. In a minute, we're going to sing a communion hymn that we're going to plan on singing throughout the year. It's called O Love Divine. It may be new to you. And in your bulletin or on the back of that sermon notes is the text. The words will be up on the screen in a couple moments. But why don't we have just a quiet time of reflection? Take a moment to thank the Lord in your own heart for what He's done for you through Jesus Christ. And then after we have that time of reflection, we'll sing together before we participate at the table.